Serrator's Daily Reading, Episode 838, August 4, 2026. Today's list had a bunch of fresh insights to learn from. I liked the perspective on model retention terms, working with agent teams, where the AI moat lives, and who builders are. Let's start with a piece from James O'Reilly on the Anti-Gravity blog about elevating agent skills with image generation. This is part of a series on mastering the tools that reduce orchestration tax and transform AI agents into autonomous collaborators. The specific focus here is the generated image tool. And O'Reilly's point is that passing unstructured prompts directly to an image generator leads to inconsistency. By encoding lighting, camera, and scene specifications into your skills prompt generator, your agent produces images that consistently match your intent. The piece walks through a real example, a skill that generates mock product images for a plant and flower store, pairing a user-provided subject with hard-coded photography parameters. Scene, camera settings, three-point lighting. The agent then calls Generate Image, renders the asset in chat, and uses Ask Question to give the developer a keep, regenerate, or exit choice. O'Reilly closes with three anti-patterns to avoid: raw prompt injection, broken links from storing assets in temp directories, and redundant generation calls when an asset already exists. Next up, Casey West has part two of his Governed Growth series, this time on the retention window that quietly shrunk. On February 23, 2026, Google revised its service-specific terms for grounding with Google Search. The retention window dropped from 30 days to up to 3, and what's kept narrowed from prompts and model. Output to short-lived debug logs. This is a real win for anyone running search inside a boundary they have to defend to a security reviewer. And it landed with no announcement. West shows how to verify it. Google keeps dated versions of its terms at stable archive URLs, so you can diff two documents and prove when the clause moved. The current clause for grounding with Google Search explicitly says the debug logs are kept to 3 days, not used for training, and cannot be disabled. If you need zero retention, the recommendation is web. Grounding for enterprise. West contrasts this with Claude's server-side web search, where retention under HIPAA BAA coverage becomes a condition rather than a configurable option. His broader point, retention terms are facts that move, and you should govern them as moving things. Cite the dated primary source, hedge the specific number, and reread it before you rely on it. Moving on to a piece from Michael's Coding Spot on how to work with 5 coding agents simultaneously. The author describes moving from skeptical single-agent mode to running multiple agents and claims to be producing 3 to 5 times more features and bug fixes than before. His 7 tips include asking agents to talk only at a high level, no code snippets or variable names, requesting responses in tables rather than paragraphs, keeping plans short, around 20 lines, combining verification and code review into one script, using adaptive end-to-end tests that selectively run based on what changed in the branch, doing manual testing as late as possible to avoid repeating it, and finally, stopping the habit of reading code reviews, trusting the agent and verification process instead. The core insight: agentic development isn't about writing code faster. It's about becoming a better orchestrator. And the limiting factor has shifted from typing speed to attention management. From the Google Developers blog, a piece on scaling real-time AI agents with session-aware load balancing. The argument is that traditional load balancing based on QPS and CPU utilization doesn't work well for long-lived, stateful AI streams. A backend handling 5 20-minute sessions looks less busy by request rate than one handling 150-millisecond requests, but it's shouldering a much heavier committed workload. The solution is tracking active sessions at the point where the streaming session lifecycle begins and ends. using a counter that increments when a session starts and decrements in a finally block when it ends.
Ends!
Then you combine that session count with CPU utilization into a hybrid model for capacity estimation. The piece includes a formula that factors in target utilization, average utilization, cost per session, and a safety scaler as a dampening multiplier to prevent the load balancer from dumping too many new sessions onto a seemingly idle backend. The key takeaway, for real-time AI, you need to balance both signals. Utilization captures current resource pressure, while session count captures committed future load. Next, a piece from AWSIC says, on the idea that the next AI moat isn't a better model. This one is from Peter Ludwig, co-founder and CTO of Applied Intuition. And he argues that the gap between a capable model and a certified operating machine is enormous, and model quality alone doesn't close. It, a team whose validation cycle takes months, is in effect throttling frontier AI down to the speed of its own process. He pushes back on the assumption that the agentic revolution in digital work will naturally extend to physical AI. Most digital AI stops at documents, conversations, and code, while physical AI lives in drive logs and sensor data, simulation runs, and hardware-in-the-loop test rigs. He also challenges the idea that speed compromises safety. In safety, critical systems, the speed of your feedback loop is a safety mechanism. When validation takes minutes instead of weeks, teams test on every change, coverage expands dramatically, and problems surface earlier when they're cheap to fix. His contrarian bet is that the next order of magnitude in physical AI comes from making the engineering system around the models as intelligent as the models themselves. From a newsletter interview with Ryan Murphy, a piece on engineering management as a career change, not a promotion. Murphy spent 5 years as an engineering manager at Yelp, leading teams that owned purchasing infrastructure, and he's now building EM Accelerator to train the next generation of engineering leaders. His core argument, nobody gets real management training outside their company's internal HR course, and we keep handing people direct control over other people's careers and hoping they figure it out. The teams pay for that education. A few highlights from the interview: managers evaluate engineers differently at each level. Juniors on initiative and growth, mid-levels on early roadblock detection and coaching, seniors on their ability to lead the leads without taking the hard tickets themselves. Murphy says the engineers easiest to advocate for were the ones who knew how to communicate progress to different audiences and took stakeholder updates as seriously as debugging. His advice for testing whether management is for you: be a tech lead first, one of the hardest roles in tech with high expectations and no formal authority. And his most quoted line going into engineering management isn't a promotion, it's a career change. From Google Cloud, an announcement of two AI-powered database agents: the database onboarding agent for day zero operations like setup and configuration, and the database observability agent for day one and two. Operations including monitoring, troubleshooting, and maintenance. These agents are always on, informed by Google's operational experience, and integrated across surfaces like chat, CLI, the Google Cloud Console, and MCP servers. The observability agent automatically connects telemetry across database insights, cloud monitoring, cloud logging, and cloud trace to provide root cause analysis in minutes, and it can execute validated remediations with your approval, like adding indexes for a cloud SQL instance. The broader theme: these sorts of agents give everyone the opportunity to do a decent job, and database experts an extra superpower. From Cloud Wars, Microsoft's Q4 cloud growth rate slipped to 27%, down from 29% in Q3, while RPO, remaining performance obligations, soared to $678 billion. For context, Microsoft's cloud revenue of $59.3 billion is much larger than Google Cloud's $24 billion, but Google Cloud's growth rate is at 82% in Q2, compared to Microsoft's 27%. The takeaway? All the hyperscale cloud are doing great, but their acceleration rates are very different. From Jobino.com, a French-language piece on securing a Go supply chain in 2026, the premise, your supply chain is everything between your keyboard and production, and in 2026 it's the main entry point for attacks. Two examples from 2025, the TJ actions, changed. Files action was compromised in March, and in September the NPM worm called Shai-Hulud executed at package install and started stealing secrets. Neither attack was a bug in the victim's code. Both entered through a dependency or build tool. The piece walks through a pipeline with 8 steps, running GovernCheck to find known vulnerabilities in your call graph, pinning dependencies by hash, and using a robot to manage updates, adding SAST to catch. Behavior, rather than just CVEs, generating an S-bomb at every build, scanning the final image, keeping secrets out of the repo and build layers, hardening GitHub actions with least privilege and pinned SHAs, and signing artifacts with cosine. The CRA, Europe's Cyber Resilience Act, arrives as a hard deadline in September 2026, giving you about a month from now. From Thagomizer.com, a post on who is a builder. The author attended a GDG Chicago builder event where 50 people built apps using Google technology. Their working definition, a builder is someone who relies on AI to create an app, agent, or service. They like this definition because it makes clear that AI empowers people to do things they couldn't do before, and it differentiates builders from developers without making them completely separate groups. The author is most excited about non-coder builders, experts in fields like marketing, law, dentistry, and real estate, who can combine their domain knowledge with AI tools to build something that helps them. Every day. The post closes with the thought that the builder revolution, where anyone with domain knowledge and some tenacity can prototype an app, is already well underway. From Nader on Substack, a piece on software abundance. The author's feelings have swung between optimism and pessimism over the past 8 months and landed at the extreme end of optimism. Since joining Cognition, they've seen Jevons' paradox in action. The number of software companies is exploding, the amount of software being shipped is exploding, and the number of people starting to write. Software is exploding. The insight is that code being easier to write doesn't mean good software is easy. AI allows you to ship 20 times more code, but so can your competition. So your roadmaps get larger, your bar is higher, and the quality of what you ship is better. The author was scared. The craft of building software was going away, but has realized the opposite. Most of what's being automated is the work engineers hate anyway. Fixing bugs, doing migrations, upgrading. Dependencies. What agents still lack is the judgment, curiosity, context, and taste of a human plugged into the outside world. Finally, from the Netflix technology blog, a piece on GenRec towards LLM native recommendation at Netflix. Netflix has been running recommendation on handcrafted features and specialized architectures for years. But this new system verbalizes user histories and context as natural language and feeds them to a post-trained foundation LLM. GenRec outperformed a mature production ranker in a large A/B test covering about 10% of Netflix traffic over 4 weeks, with statistically significant improvements in both short-term and long-term metrics. The system uses roughly 40 times fewer Phase 2 labeled training examples to match the production ranker, and it shifts the focus from feature engineering to what they're calling context engineering. Deciding. Which signals to include, how far back to go, and how to compress history within a token budget. The serving approach runs in prefill-only mode. The model consumes the prompt once and scores the entire candidate set in a single forward pass without autoregressive decoding, which keeps costs manageable at Netflix scale. That's episode 838 for August 4, 2026. Plenty to chew on, from agent orchestration and data retention terms to the shifting definition of what it means to build software and where the real competitive advantages are accumulating. Catch you next time.